there's lots of discourses about the awakened mind, the bodhicitta, the mind that aspires to awakening. And it's beautiful, and it's sweet, and it fills us with a kind of warmth, because it's like, oh, I have bodhicitta. I aspire to be awake, and I aspire to awakening for all beings. And it fits so well with our culture of life-affirming, positive truths that make us feel good. But I want to tell you, my experience is that I don't know anyone, and I don't know of anyone, and I haven't heard of anyone that has truly even peered at the cessation of anguish, even like glimpsed it, like glanced at it, caught a whiff of it, without having experienced the emotion or state that is called samvega. And samvega is a very complex term, and it's in the Patanjali Yoga Sutras it is found. And in the Yoga Sutras, they talk about samvega. And what they say about samvega is yoga, the results will be quick. They will be fast. They will turn everything in your life around. And everything will be apparent to you if you have the fire of samvega. And what samvega is not your run-of-the-mill desire to change. I want my life to change, so I'm going to meditate. I want things to be different. I'm going to offer gifts to my guru, my teacher. It is the burning quality of coming into utter awareness in a shocking kind of way about the experience of life and just how messy it is. And on top of that, how asleep you have been up until the moment that you come into contact with that, like, just dumbstruck awe of like, oh my God, look at this. It's when it falls apart, when the meaning that you had associated around life caves in on itself, crumbles, and you are willing, you have an intensity to do anything to move through that. You are willing to defy, as you must, all of the social norms, because it's so apparent to you how meaningless it is. It's nothing short of devastating. One must be devastated by the truth of anguish before you can get anywhere near cessation. They don't put this in self-help books. Nobody wants to buy that. It is an unequivocal intensity, a kind of like something that burns you up. Literally burns all of your belief about how things are in smoke. Gone. in an instant. Now, almost every single one of us have experienced it. I believe we all have. But it's so painful. It's so debilitating that we try to put a little Band-Aid on it and cover it up. Keep that alive. That is the doorway out. That kind of, it's not like angst is a slim shadow of what I'm talking about. Angst is very nice and proper, and people like to use that one because it kind of keeps it contained. But it's so much more messy than angst. It's so much more uncontainable than angst. It needs to be balanced with another quality, which is called pasada. And what pasada is the clear knowing that it is possible to negotiate this situation. It doesn't mean you know how. It doesn't mean you know when it's going to happen. It doesn't even mean you know what to do. It means that you have tapped into a crystal clear our Judeo-Christian framework would say faith, but it's a seeing into this has got to change. It's what keeps Samvega from having us like just go and split our wrists somewhere, because we could just do that, right? We could just be like, it's all messy and we can't do anything about it. So you have to have the both of these things together. One followed by the other. And the classic Buddhist texts actually talk about the Buddha having this quality as a result, this pasada, as a result. Because, you know, I mean, imagine, came out, you know, old age. Never saw that before. What is that about? Whoa! You know, old age, like, he's gray, wrinkled. What's happening there? Sickness? You know, and sickness wasn't, like, pretty kind of sickness. Like, you know, this is like folks that are on the street with real ugly stuff. You know? Like, you know, where your body, like, seizes up to see that kind of sickness. And death, right there. And the devastating quality, right? The devastation of experiencing all of that and not knowing what to do with it. And one's world falling to pieces. Utter perfection that was the Buddha's life style. Just, you know, laying at his feet now, is all his belief systems just in a heap. All of us have had that happen to us, if not about our entire belief system, at least in our belief about a person, a thing, a situation. We've all had that happen, where it just falls apart and it's laying at our feet and we feel like we're lost, hanging out in the wind because we have nothing else to hold on to. But after the Buddha saw these three individuals that represented old age, sickness, and death, the fourth individual was a wandering mendicant, a monk. A wandering beggar is more like it. And that person, seeing that person, imparted to, transmitted to the Buddha, to Gautama at the time, there's something in that. And each of you have prasada because you're here. You know, you're sitting here. So you have something, even if it's not fully cultivated, of the clear seeing that has taken you out of whatever you could be doing tonight, to be sitting here, moving along a path in whatever way you are doing it. But in order for there to be cessation, really, in order to experience the freedom of the burning away, the extinction, nirvana, not the magic nirvana in the sky, the nirvana in this life, on this plane, in this place, in order to experience the extinction of that anguish, the constant anguish and stress, you must have a connection with your samvega, with your burning, intense, and no one will appreciate it. You know, your society, your family, most of your friends, they're not going to be like, cool, keep that. That's a great attitude to have. They'll be like, you are tripping. It's okay, they'll tell you. It'll be all right. Just do this. Just do that. But if you are truly practicing the truth, the first noble truth of the anguish, of the stress, of the suffering, you will not heed that. You will instead go off to the places of rebels and revolutionaries that would not be satisfied with the normal way. You will instead follow your heart to the very, very end because it knows deeply the completely unsatisfactoriness of this way that we are. And if you cultivate even samvega in balance with this clear sense that it is possible to work with, that's the bright side, right? We need a little dark, little light. Little moon, little sun, day and night. We need them both. If you cultivate it, you will not be swayed. You will not be lulled. You will not be put back to sleep. You will not be sucked in. Come, feel better. Be comfortable. It'll be all right. you know, it already is all right. But if you don't already deeply know that, don't let anyone tell you that it's true. You have to know it for yourself. You have to step into that on your own. And you have to walk through this place of intensity. You have to carry this fire with you until no one has to tell you that it will be all right. Because the cessation is without doubt. And I, you know, words fail at these moments because there's just no way to say. You think, well, I want to, maybe if I scream, they'll get it. Without doubt is without doubt. It is completely unshakable. No one can bring anything to you anymore, ever, that will suggest to you for one moment that you are not perfect. No one will ever be able to convince you that you are not in simply in a divine place at all moments in time. And most important, you yourself will not waver a bit. Unshakable. It's not a belief. I want that to be clear. So in some ways, the saying of this is, you know, useless. But maybe it will spark some urgency. Unshakable, without a doubt. This anguish, this stress, is stoppable. It is up to each of you to cultivate the quality of mind, of urgency, of intention, of defiance, to actually experience that cessation. Maybe one question, if there are any. Well, we can take some laughter. Say it again. Way-seeking mind. We develop, you know, it's like going to the gym, and you just work the muscle. You like work really all attention on the muscle that keeps you facing your experience as it is. If you, even for one full day, I believe this, if you can go through one entire day fully experiencing your life, and everything that comes up, I don't mean pick a day where you're going to see your mama and she's going to wear you out. Don't go looking for some pain. Any random day, if you allow yourself to see uncompromising, then you will cultivate that way-seeking mind, because you will so deeply experience the truth of this suffering, this angst, this anguish, everywhere you go. Even if you hide yourself in a little box and pretend not to see anybody, if you allow every bit of the experience that is your life for one full day, you will have all the fire that you need to be like, I have got to do something. That this way that has been happening is not the way. But we dull out. We turn it down. We lower the volume. Bring it down a little bit. Constantly. Constantly. We do it with no awareness whatsoever that that's what we're doing. We shut it out. Go away. Not now. Can't take that. Too busy. I'm working on this right now. Not that emotion. I'll take that one, but not that one. Too much of that. Put that away. I'll deal with that later. So we have to flex our capacity to stand. To just stand in the presence of what is.
Do we need practice? I mean, a formal meditation area to do that?
You know, we could use that, but most people come to a practice because they've had a glimpse of that, but they shut it out. And so then what we end up doing with practice, with formal practice, is spending our time trying to pry that little opening back up again so we can open it up and look in and go, oh, that's what I ran away and hid from, and go and went and sat on a cushion and used the cushion as a place to hide. Everyone is catapulted into a practice because they have that experience that blows them away. Everyone. That's what happens. You get your skirt blown up and you're like, woohoo, can't handle that, need to find some way to deal. But then we use it like anything else. Everything can be used as delusion. We use our practice as a way to feel comfortable again. I'm taking care of it now. I'm a meditator. I look at me. I'm so great. And in fact, we use it to avoid.
So how do we avoid using practice as a way of avoiding?
That's what... Yes.
Stay on.
No, it's completely fine. I mean, because that is the quality. I mean, that's what happens to, you know, spiritual practice communities. We all get in this together and we're just like, whoa, like let's all make each other feel good. And that isn't what it's about. It's like, no, let them suffer. Let them be in it. Don't fix it for them. Don't stroke their head. Don't hand them a tissue. Don't tell them it'll be okay. It's fucked up. Damn, that is fucked up. Let them be with it. It's okay. Just the way that it is. It's perfect. So we get out of the way. First of all, we mind our business. First, stop watching everybody else, fixing everyone else, figuring out like, you know, well, she's doing this and that's triggering me. Well, just whatever. Mind your business. Shut up. Pay attention. It's really simple. That's all there is to do. We complicate it. We make it something big. But we don't have to learn anything. We have to unlearn. There's like two words in practice. Sit, stay. My like puppies. Sit, stay. Sit doesn't necessarily mean sit on the cushion. It means sit in the truth of your experience. Sit in this moment right now. Don't grab after the next moment. Don't push away from the last moment. Sit here. Stay. Unlearn, not learn. Unlearn all of the habits of hiding from your own experience. Someone said to me today, well, I don't know how to stop. I said, don't be ridiculous. You know how to stop. You need to learn to, you need to learn to let go of continuing. We all know how to stop. Stopping is natural. Sitting and staying is natural. The habit is to keep going and going and going. That's just a habit. That's why we say we're coming back to our true self. This is most natural, to be in the truth of our experience. Everything else is something that we have layered on, grafted on to our most fundamental nature, which is to be in harmony, just like a tree, not getting up and going anywhere and wishing it were different, just staying with the presence of this moment. And that's it. It's very clean. May you go well. Beings are numberless. I vow to awaken them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to transform them. Dharma is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The awakened way is unattainable. I vow to embody it. Beings are numberless. I vow to awaken them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to transform them. The Dharma is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The awakened way is unattainable. I vow to embody it. Beings are numberless. I vow to awaken them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to transform them. The Dharma is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The awakened way is unattainable. I vow to embody it. Thank you. Ah.